This afternoon, I want to invite our attention to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 103, 103. So many of the Psalms bring great comfort to the heart of God's children. And this is one of them. We see here in Psalm chapter 103, as the psalmist David begins by saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Now, as patriotic Americans, we often sing, "God bless America." But how often do we think, before God blesses America, that America needs to bless God? And in particular, we as His children, we need to bless the Lord. Now that phrase means that literally in the Hebrew language, it means to bow down in praise, adoration, and worship of Almighty God. It carries the idea of acknowledging who God is, and of acknowledging that the one true Lord is sovereign over the universe, that He is the ruler of all rulers, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and that there is none in heaven above or in earth beneath that can stay His hand nor say to Him, "What doest thou?" That's what it means to bless the Lord. And so, here in Psalm chapter 103, in particular, as he begins by saying in the first two verses, both two verses, to bless the Lord, all that is, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And then verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he says, and forget not all of His benefits toward me. Now that's my subject this afternoon. The benefits of our Lord. But first, let's join in prayer. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, again I'm thankful to be back at Providence Church here in Luthersville, Georgia. I pray this afternoon that Your Word may have free course in our hearts, and that as we come into worship, then that we may go out to serve Thee better. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so here we find, he says, do not forget all of our Lord's benefits toward us. Now, when you think of benefits, you often think of when a person gets a job, one of the things other than your salary that's important is the benefit package. You know, health insurance, life insurance, retirement savings, things of that nature. And those are very important on a job. And sometimes the benefits tend to be better than the salary. And so we find that having a good benefit package on your job is very important. However, I would say that the benefit package of our Lord is out of this world. It's out of this world. It is the greatest and the best benefit package that there can be. And it pays dividends, spiritual dividends, every day. And so as he begins this text here in Psalm 103, beginning in verse number 3, the very first benefit that he blesses the Lord for is the forgiveness of all of our iniquity. Notice it. Psalms 103, verse 3. The Lord who forgiveth all of thy iniquities. He forgives our sin through the shed blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the only way that our sins could be forgiven. We have a hymn that says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be washed white as snow." Now, our sins have been washed away through the blood that Jesus shed for our sins on the cross. And that was the penalty for our sin. Death was the wages for our sin. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." That's what we deserved, is death. We deserved eternal damnation. But then he goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so, our sins have been forgiven. And down in verse 12 of our text, he says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." So in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for forgiveness, the main idea is to separate the sinner from his sin. To separate the sinner from his sin. As a matter of fact, if you look over in the book of Micah, chapter 7, the minor prophet of Micah, chapter 7, the last chapter of Micah, he says then, beginning in verse 18, concerning the forgiveness of our sin. And he says this, "Who is a God like unto thee, who pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his own heritage? He retains not his anger forever." Why not? "Because he delighteth in mercy." He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. "He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all of their sins into the depths of the sea." Separating the sin from the sinner, or the sinner from our sin. Back in those days, if something was lost at sea, it could not be retrieved. You know, they didn't have equipment like we have today. You know, they have retrieved lots of things from the bottom of the ocean today. But back then, it was impossible. So, if something was dropped to the bottom of the ocean, it was gone forever. And when the psalmist David said in Psalm 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." When you think about it, east and west never meet. If you travel east, you're never traveling west. If you're traveling west, you're never traveling east. It's not like that with north and south, is it? The twain never meet. And so he has forgiven all of our sin. The Apostle Paul said it came through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1 verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace." God's grace, His mercy, and His grace. In mercy, our Lord withholds from us that which we deserve. We deserve death. We deserve eternal separation from God. But in grace, through Christ, He freely gives to us that which we do not deserve. That is a relationship with Him and eternal life, that we might commune with Him, not just in this life only, but to be with Him throughout eternity in heaven's pure world. And so that very first benefit is the most vital one that we needed, forgiveness of our sin. The second one, he says, who heals all thy diseases. Now, first, he has healed us from the disease of sin. Now, our soul and our spirit have been already redeemed. But these bodies we live in, they're still corrupt. That's why this body dies. But we know that someday these bodies will also be raised incorruptible. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 8 and again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, among other places. Now, there's a great example of this in the book of Exodus chapter 15. After the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage with a high hand and a great deliverance, the children of Israel, God parted the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea, and Israel walked on dry ground to the other side. But when they got across, the waters came in on the pursuing Egyptian army and drowned the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. And after that glorious miracle, Moses sang a song in Exodus chapter 15. I'll just read the first two verses, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 23, where we see how quickly we as God's people forget the miracles of God. But Moses sang this song. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song to the Lord, and they spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him a habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. And then verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now remember this, it's only been 3 days, 3 days since the parting of the Red Sea. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah because they were bitter. And that's why the place was named Marah, because the name Marah means bitter. And the people murmured against Moses. They complained. Now remember, it's only been 3 days since the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. And even after 3 days, here they are murmuring and complaining against Moses. How quickly do we forget the power of God and His power to deliver us and His power to meet our every need. So they needed water. And so what did the Lord do? Well, first, Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed Moses a tree. A tree. Which when the tree was cast into the waters were made sweet. So there, He made for them, the Lord did, a statute and an ordinance, and there the Lord proved or tested Israel. And the Lord said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep His statutes, all of them, then I will put none of the diseases upon you that I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. He is the Lord our healer. Now, we often pray for the Lord to heal us and family members and friends of various diseases of our body, and rightly so, because He created these bodies, and ultimately the Lord, many times through medicine and through physicians, but sometimes miraculously, will indeed heal these physical bodily diseases. But there are times when that is not God's will. Have you prayed for the healing of a loved one? Then the loved one passes away. Certainly we all have. But death is the ultimate healing. The ultimate healing. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So He is the Lord our healer, and that is a tremendous benefit. As a matter of fact, David said this about our benefits in Psalm chapter 68 and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah. So we have all of these benefits in Him. Third, you see in verse 4 of our text, in Psalm 103, He says, It is the Lord who redeems our life from destruction. That word destruction means a pit. And sometimes it also means the grave. And so ultimately, He has redeemed us from the grave. He has redeemed us out of the pit of sin and death. That is the destructive pit that the Lord has redeemed us out of. Now in Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul tells us that in Christ we have redemption, even the forgiveness of our sin. And to be redeemed means to be bought back. We were slaves to sin. We were sold in sin when our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell in sin in the Garden of Eden. But in the shedding of Christ's blood, we have been bought back. His blood was the price of our redemption. The Apostle Peter says this about it in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but rather you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you. So we have redemption through Him. Next He says, He crowns us with loving kindness. Loving kindness. The Hebrew word is hesed, the loving kindness of God. His love and His compassion. God's love for you and me is an everlasting love. It has no beginning and no ending. He says in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee to myself. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. His love is eternal, without beginning and without end. So, if anyone asks you, when did God begin to love you? You can answer and say, He never started to love me, because He has always loved you and me. And His compassions for us are new every morning. His faithfulness toward us is new every morning. Jeremiah also said this about it in Lamentation 3:21. This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. For it is of the Lord's many mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And that is the verse on which the hymn is based. Great is thy faithfulness. Now He crowns us with loving kindness. When you think of a crown, it sounds, like a reward, but it's really a benefit. The Apostle James said this about crowns in James chapter 1 and verse 12. And this is a beatitude. He said, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love Him. The crown of life. And that reminds us of what Jesus said in His parable in Matthew chapter 25, when He said to the one who used his Lord's talents, well done, thou faithful and good servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. So He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. Tender mercies. Another benefit in verse 5 is found as being this: who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like that of the eagle. He satisfies our mouth with things that are good. God's Word is good, and we feed upon it. Then the imagery there, that our youth is renewed like that of the eagle. The mother eagle brings food to her babies, that their strength might be renewed. And I love this verse in Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 29. Our Lord gives power to the faint, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Just like the mother eagle feeds her babies, God satisfies our mouths with good things. Another benefit in verse 6 and 7 says that our Lord executes righteousness and true judgment for all that are oppressed. You know, in biblical times, the poor were often oppressed. And you remember the Lord commanded in the law that they were not to take the gleanings of their field, but they were to leave them for the poor and for the stranger and for those that were oppressed. And so what a benefit that is. Another benefit is He's made known His ways throughout history and in our own life experience as well. We can look back at how He delivered His people in the Bible and how He's delivered our own lives in times past. And that gives us comfort, encouragement, strength, and hope to press on today. Now, beginning, if you will, in verses 8 through 11, again, He speaks of the Lord's mercy. Our Lord is merciful. He is gracious. He's slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Now, yes, He is a God of judgment and wrath. But yet, for His children who are blood-bought, He's merciful. He will not always chide with us. He will not keep His anger forever. He will not and have not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. If we got what we deserved, we would not be here, would we? No, we wouldn't. Notice what the psalmist David also said in Psalm chapter 130. In verse number 3, he said, "If the Lord should mark our iniquities, then, O Lord, who shall stand?" The obvious answer is no one will stand. But then he said, "But there is forgiveness with Thee, that thou mayest be feared." Psalm 130, 3 and 4. And so he finishes that section again with, "So far as the east is from the west, our sins have been remitted." In 13 and 14, God likens Himself to our fathers who have pity on their children. For He is our Heavenly Father. And just like a father pities his children, so our Lord pities those that fear Him. He has compassion on them who fear Him. Why? Because He knows our frame, these bodies we dwell in, and He remembers that we are but dust. And then He reminds us of the brevity of life on earth. "For the wind," He says, "we are as grass, as a flower of the field that flourishes, the wind passes over it and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Here today and gone tomorrow." So it is with our short lifespan on earth. But, we love that prepositional transition. Something from the negative to the positive. Psalms 103:17. "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear Him, and His righteousness extends to children's children," to our grandchildren, "and to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them." You know, Jesus says, if you know Me, happy are you. If you know My commandments, happy are you if you do them. That's a paraphrase of John 13. And so that's how we experience the joy of the Lord today. So there in verses 17, 18 of our text, that's conditional mercy. Conditional mercy. "To such as keep His covenant," and keep His word. Now, we'll never keep it perfectly in this life. We'll never be without sin in this life. But we should strive to do those things that are well-pleasing to Him. Because Jesus taught it in John chapter 14. I'll close with this. John 14:21. Jesus said, "He that has My commandments and keepeth them, doeth them. He it is that loveth me, and he who loves me shall be loved of my Father. Remember he said in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And he said in verse number 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we will come unto him, not into, but unto him, and make our abode with him, in fellowship and in sweet communion. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? The benefits of our Lord. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? The psalmist David asked that question in Psalms 116, verse 12. And his answer was this: I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord, and I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.